I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Tomorrow, South Sudan will celebrate its first day as an independent nation. But Sudan's northern government in Khartoum went ahead and officially recognized South Sudan today. A nice gesture on the surface, but Africa's newest country is emerging from the ashes of a long civil war between North and South, and there are fears that tensions could erupt into conflict again. Already, there have been clashes in border areas between the armed forces of the North and fighters from the South. Today, the United Nations approved the immediate creation of a peacekeeping force for South Sudan. The BBC's Will Ross is in South Sudan and sent this report on the mood there.
On the banks of the River Nile in Terekeke town, young men and women are marching past the bushy, bright green mango trees to the tune of "I'll never leave my land till I die." They're getting ready for the celebrations. On Saturday, a new nation will be born, South Sudan. A little downstream, children paddle their wooden dugout canoes and pull up the fishing nets before heading home to the tiny village of Loi, where it looks as though little has changed for centuries.
I'm just walking into a hut made out of reeds. There's a large oven, a clay oven, wood-fired, and they're drying enormous fish from the River Nile, Nile perch.
The man with the booming voice is Paul Modi, the 6'6" village chief. He tells me that he's happy South Sudan is breaking away from the North. When they were under the rule of Khartoum, the children couldn't even get an education. But now he's expecting changes, motorboats instead of wooden canoes, and industries. People's wish lists here are as long as the River Nile. But in order for there to be development, there's going to have to be security. I caught up with a man trying to sort that out here, the Terekeke County Commissioner, Clement Maring Samuel.
Less than 2 years ago, I was driving the other side of the river here. There had been a lot of cattle raiding going on. I drove past villages where the huts had been burnt to the ground. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been killed.
Yeah.
One of your jobs has been to try and get the guns off the people. How have you managed to do that?
We use very diplomatic way. So it is us who call the chiefs together to enlighten their people to bring and hand all their guns.
How many guns did you get?
About 10,000 guns. Yeah.
10,000 guns?
Yeah.
South Sudan's army preparing for the independence parade. With the peace still on shaky ground, the government spends three times as much on the military as it does on education and health combined. There are, after all, still fears of further violence along the north-south border. It's rich in oil. The sound of a new rebellion. These well-armed southern soldiers are with a rebel group that popped up just last week, announcing it was going to fight the government in the south. In this tribally divided land, there are more than half a dozen armed opposition groups. The government says they're all sponsored by the old enemy, President Omar el-Bashir's government in Khartoum. It denies any involvement. South Sudan's information minister, Dr. Barnaba Marial Benjamin, doesn't sound too worried.
Look at South Africa. Even when Icon President Mandela became the president, there was still a fight and there were rebels. The same thing in Mozambique. And so we have a few of our few rebels, which I can assure you we will contain it. We're talking to them that what people have been fighting for has been achieved. So what is the reason of your rebellion?
Primary school children in Juba practicing the brand new national anthem. The words point to the country's bloody past and forward to a far brighter future. But for there to be the much-needed development, there'll have to be unity within the South and a good relationship with the North. A very tall order.
That was the BBC's Will Ross reporting from Juba in South Sudan.